arm's-length reporting for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. You're listening to the second hour of the weekend edition of the Corlin Economics Report. Corey and I are going to chat a little bit about a base metal near and dear to our hearts and probably yours, and that's copper. We're going to chat with Rick Van Nieuwenhuyse. Rick is the chairman and president of Nova Copper. Before we get into that, I just want to say a couple of things. So I found the first hour to be fascinating. I think Congressman Walter Jones from North Carolina is right on. He certainly mirrors our thoughts in terms of what's going on and what should be going on. Maybe it'd be better to say what should not be going on in the Middle East. And then, of course, Marin Katusa, his colleague at TC Research, Bud Conrad, I think has some great insights into actually what's going on and the reason behind many of the actions in the Middle East right now. Okay, enough of that. No more politics. We're going to talk a little bit about business. Rick, we have been intrigued with Nova Copper for quite some time. My reason for interest in the company is because of your track record. You and I have known each other for, you know, it's been over 20 years since you and Greg actually founded Nova Gold, which was a huge success. You are now putting all of your efforts into Nova Copper. It would appear that the time is very definitely right, given the fact that copper inventories right now are very strong. The price of copper is very strong right now, $3.24, up 2 cents as we are recording here on Friday. I think it's a good place to be, and I say that for one simple reason. The world's economies can't exist, without your product. You want to elaborate a little bit?
Sure. Copper, they call it Dr. Copper because copper is used in just about everything we do in the industrialized world. So, it is sort of provides a litmus test for how well the economies are doing. And obviously, last few years they've been not doing so well. Europe and the United States and with the slowdown in China, or at least what's been perceived to be a slowdown. And here we sit today with copper inventories about 600,000 tons. This is the traditional time of year when the inventories sort of peak out, and then in the fall and the winter time, the people who use and buy copper tend to whittle down those inventories. And so it's nice to see a nice good strong copper price at $3.25 when you have inventories at the peak of the season. So, and it is a seasonal thing. You can look back for the last, almost forever, and you see that sort of typical cyclical pattern of inventory buildup over the summer, and then the drawdown from the fall through the spring.
Now,
so I think we're in a great position, and certainly long term, I'm very bullish on copper.
And Rick, I'm looking at a chart right now that breaks down copper demand by region, and obviously China is a major player, the U.S., BRIC countries right in there, Western Europe also a major player. Are there any other countries that you see becoming some big consumers or really demanding more copper maybe next year as we move forward?
Well, certainly, it's oftentimes missed that Europe is the second largest consumer of copper. And certainly driven largely by Germany, but also Poland and Eastern Europe. You're starting to see more and more consumption going on in Eastern Europe. So I think you'll continue to see Europe grow as a net copper consumer. I think the other countries to pay attention to is India. Their consumption of copper on a per capita basis is just minuscule. It's even smaller than China's. And so there's a country with 1.5 billion people that is going to continue to grow their economy despite all the issues there are in India. They're building infrastructure, they're advancing economically. So I think that's a big one, and I think Indonesia is another big one, or actually broader than Indonesia, probably just sort of Southeast Asia. So. It's you often hear about China, and certainly China is a big driver. I think the rest of Asia and Eastern Europe shouldn't be forgotten about either.
No, I would have to agree with you. I don't think they should be forgotten about at all. One thing I'm curious about, you had some huge success with Nova Gold. And then I guess looking for another challenge, just fairly recently, you got involved, with Nova Copper. Why the shift?
Well, we got the Nova Gold story, and we got Donlin, the feasibility study completed on Donlin, and a good agreement worked out with our partner Barrick on a path forward and initiated the permitting process. So, really that's kind of the fun part of the process is getting those things set up, permitting, going through, 3 or 4 years of permitting and 2 or 3 years of mine construction. That's not really where my expertise is. My expertise is more in exploration and mine development. So I kind of like that end of the spectrum better. We were able to put together the Ambler project in Nova Gold, and then decided that Nova Gold should focus on Donlin, which is a huge, high-quality asset with a big partner, and that we should hire the right senior management to advance that project, and that would allow me to do what I love doing, which is more on the exploration project development side. With the Ambler project, and I think timing was great because I think copper is a great metal. Nothing wrong with gold, but I think copper is a great metal as well. It's a bit easier to understand, I think, in terms of the supply-demand dynamics than gold is. Gold's always kind of a political metal, or what I refer to as a political metal, because it's really money, so it gets kind of caught up in that whole political realm. Copper is really a much simpler metal. It's a supply-demand metal, and we talked about the consumption in China and India and in Europe. That isn't going away. In fact, it'll be improving because those economies are now improving. We're seeing Europe kind of get back on the mend. The U.S. is starting to be act a bit more like it's on the mend. The, job creation is going up. Employment rate was down for the first time in quite a while. I think we're down to 7.3 or 7.4. So, things are moving in the right direction. And I think also on China, I think the pundits who have been worried about the slowdown in China have kind of finally realized that China's economy has slowed down from that double digit growth, but it's off a much larger base. So in terms of how much copper they're consuming, it's more, not less. And so I think as people understand that, and then you look at the supply side of the equation, we continue to have supply disruptions. There are strikes. Codelco workers are on strike at one of their big mines at Salvador in Chile. That supplies almost 5% of the world copper production. And, maybe that's delayed for 2 or 3 months because of the strike. Those things have a big impact on how much copper gets supplied to the market, along with all sorts of, other water-related, issues, not enough water, not enough power. All those disruptions have, for the last 10 years, sort of plagued the producers to where they have consistently overestimated how much copper they're going to produce in any given year. And meanwhile, the demand side hasn't changed significantly at all.
Rick, I'm curious. We only have a minute left here, unfortunately. And by the way, if you folks want to get any more information on Nova Copper, click on their banner on our website. We put that up not for any reason other than I'm very intrigued with this company. But really quickly, 30 seconds, how much money does the company have? Is the company going to have to raise any money in the relatively near future?
We're focused on. We have $10 million in the bank. We're focused on completing the technical report for the preliminary economic assessment we did and planning for next year's program. So we're planning on putting that plan together now, and obviously we hope that the overall tone in the market improves. It's been not the best of the last year or 2 years, so hopefully that improves in the next year.
And I'm sure that it will. Ladies and gentlemen, stick around. We're going to be back with a roundtable consisting of Jay Taylor, John Walter Williams, Ellen Brown, and Peter Grandage.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Eric Hamburg with Midas Resources Gold and Silver. Ever wonder why billionaires like Warren Buffett, John Paulson are dumping their shares of U.S. company stocks? Do they know something we don't? No investor wants to own stocks with falling profit margins and shrinking dividends. Is it possible a 1987-style market crash is coming? Are these investors aware of a massive correction of up to 90%? Call me, Eric Hamburg, at 800-686-2237, extension 120, and find out why gold and silver are the only true safe haven. With event-driven risks, such as volatility in the financial market and conflict in Syria and the Middle East, the sky is the limit for gold and silver. That's Eric Hamburg, 800-686-2237, extension 120, and I'll send you a brochure explaining why gold and silver are the only way to preserve your purchasing power. As a currency's value crumbles and gold being priced in dollars, the metal's value will skyrocket. Again, that's Eric Hamburg, Midas Resources, 800-686-2237, extension 120.
This October, thousands of people from all corners of the world will descend upon Orem, Utah. But it's more than the fall colors or the snow-capped Wasatch Mountains that brings them. It's the semi-annual Great Utah Preparedness Expo at the Utah Valley University Event Center. It's the most unique preparedness event on Earth, with over 30 world-class lecturers giving over 50 presentations. Learn from experts about below-ground greenhouses, super winter survival, herbal medicine, bunker building, even urban evasion and escape tactics taught by SEAL team trainers. These people are the very best, and they only get together twice a year at the Great Utah Preparedness Expo. There's also over 100 vendors selling very unique preparedness, emergency, and survival equipment, plus solar and alternative energy products. The semi-annual Great Utah Preparedness Expo, October 11th and 12th in Orem, Utah. Sponsored by Youngevity. For more, visit superprepfair.com. That's superprepfair.com.
David J. Smith of Newswatch Magazine. In January 2011, after a federal law was passed to transfer a World War I memorial in the Mojave Desert to private ownership, the United States Supreme Court ruled that the cross in the memorial could continue to stand. But the Obama administration refused to allow the land to be transferred as required by law and refused to allow the cross to be erected as ordered by the court. How much more anti-biblical can you get? We would like to offer you an absolutely free one-year subscription to Newswatch Magazine. Just call our toll-free number, 1-800-516-8736. That's 1-800-516-8736. Call now while operators are standing by.
Weakened by GMOs, stressed out about money, and blasted by the electric environment. Hi, I'm Pastor Jenny, and that was the state I was in back in 2010. Then I learned about RNA drops. I learned that 97% of my DNA that scientists have called junk is actually packed with millions of gene switches that play a critical role in controlling how my cells, organs, and other tissues behave. I learned I don't have to put up with disease, decay, or decline like I'd been conditioned to believe. I began taking RNA drops, a 100% natural formula designed to turn on those switches and provide me with amazing health and joy. Learn more about RNA drops and order a free sample today. Visit rnafreesample.com. That's rnafreesample.com. Or call toll-free 888-577-3703. Pay only shipping and handling for a free 30-day supply of RNA drops. Get the information you need and the health you want at rnafreesample.com.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. You know, I have to tell you, of all the people who I know in the resource sector, Rick Van Nieuwenhuyse is one of the giants. He had some tremendous success with Nova Gold, and I think Nova Copper is probably going to go the same way. And his views on copper I found to be very, very interesting. Okay, we got a roundtable going here. Going to be for the next three segments. some of my favorite people have joined us here. Peter Grandich, who is no stranger to our site. Jay Taylor, who is no stranger to our site. Ellen Brown, who really shouldn't be a stranger on our site. She is a great lady. She is the author of a book that I'm looking at right here called The Web of Death. I met Ellen through, interestingly enough, Crazy Murphy, Bill Murphy, and we've become friends. And then, of course, John Walter Williams, probably one of the most respected economists and newsletter writers in the United States. All these folks are joining Corey and I. What we're going to chat about here for the next three segments are experts' opinions on what's really going on in the financial community, what's really going on in the economy of the United States. And I don't think you're going to hear mainstream. I could be wrong, but I've known these folks for a while. And I don't think you're going to hear mainstream media's views here. You know, I think a logical place to start out is we're talking about the employment figures, and the president is crowing about the fact that he's taken the numbers much, much lower than they were. We're down to 7.3%. Happy days are here again. Those are the numbers that came out Friday morning. As far as I'm concerned, those numbers don't even come close to telling the story, and Bank of America and Merrill Lynch happen to agree with me. John, your comments first, please.
Well, today's unemployment reporting is absolutely tremendous. In a normal recession, shallow recession, short recession, when you have unemployment decline, as we had this morning, and the unemployment rate drops because people are going back to work, that's a real happy circumstance. We didn't see that today. What we saw was that unemployment dropped. So did employment, and so did the labor force. What we have here is not a normal recession. This has been the most protracted, the deepest downturn since the Great Depression. Probably eventually we'll rival it. I mean, we haven't, as far as I'm concerned, we haven't recovered. But what you've been seeing in the decline in the unemployment rate here has not been people going back to work. It has been people leaving the labor force because they can't find jobs. And the government has a broader measure than the headline one, which is U3 called U6, which includes discouraged workers, but only people who are discouraged for a year. That's up right now at 13.7% this morning, as of against the 7.3% that the president was crowing about. But if you take all the people who move out of that and become so-called long-term discouraged workers, where the government no longer counts them. The government used to count them back in 1994. You put them in there, unemployment today was up over 23%.
Peter, I got a question.
Not a happy circumstance.
No, not a happy.
Not an economic recovery.
Not a happy circumstance. Pete, I got a question for you. Now, I know you believe every single thing that the mainstream media, particularly the financial media, says, and I think you're probably going to disagree with John here, aren't you?
Well, first of all, I'm just happy to be here because when you said roundtable, I thought we'd be invited based on our body size. So I'm quite happy to hear that it's not that. Secondly, I'm quite pleased to say that John Williams and I go back almost 25 or so years, and I would give anything to get rid of the talking heads that appear on the media and have somebody like John be up there who really tells the truth about the economy and has been. John is absolutely correct, and he put it in a very, very simple term, and you don't need to get past that. The bottom line is the only reason the unemployment rate went down is because less people are actually working or even trying to work. And how anybody could crow about that, but it doesn't surprise me that this president does, is beyond me. I think the other thing that's really important and gets lost in all of this in the main media is how much money has been spent, how much debt have we incurred in this so-called economic rebound, and this is the net result we have for it. My God, if they taper, if taper is supposed to be a good thing because it means the economy is getting better, if they take out all the money that was spent and all we got was this, what are we going to have when there is no money or less money, so-called, being printed? I just think it's a Pandora's box that's, you know, getting pried open slowly. But when it gets open wide, we're just going to see the ill effects of many years of bad advice and bad decisions coming out of Washington.
Pete, I think that's a great point you bring up. And John and Pete, I really actually agree with both of you that there's without a doubt more people just not even in the labor force. It's almost like they've just thrown in the towel, which is quite discouraging, I think. And Ellen, I want to bring you into this conversation and get your take on what these employment numbers meant.
What interests me is, can I comment on the quantitative easing and the money that went into the economy? I don't think it did. I think that that money was just sitting on the books of the banks, and that that's why it hasn't stimulated the economy. And what would stimulate the economy is to actually get the money out there. You could have the Fed do quantitative easing that would involve, for example, making loans to state and local governments. And that was brought up to Ben Bernanke, I think, on QE2, and he said, well, it wasn't in his mandate. It wasn't in the Federal Reserve Act. In other words, he's not there to serve state and local governments. He's there to serve the banks. Or you could do it by making 0.75% loans to students, like Elizabeth Warren is suggesting. There are many ways you could get real money out into the economy, but that's not what we have. The money is just an asset swap with the assets that are already on the books of the banks. It puts money where they used to have assets, so the numbers come out the same. And what's really happening with those assets, with the government securities, is they become collateral for the repo market. And the repo market is largely, I don't think those are loans to small businesses. That's money that's going into speculative derivatives and this whole unsustainable bubble that must bring the whole economy down again one of these days.
Jay, I got a question. You know, you introduced Kathy and I back in the late 90s to the concept of the terrifying concept of the increasing amount of debt in our country. You know, and if I'm not mistaken, I think you might have also introduced me to Ellen in Ellen's great book, The Web of Debt. But having said that, you know, it's amazing to me. I'd like you to wrap up this segment. We've just got about less than a minute left here. But just, is your main concern in our economy right now the escalating level of debt? Got about 25 seconds here.
Yeah, I think it's the debt, which of course has been increased or has been caused by the ability to print money without limit since we've gone off the gold standard in 1971, and it's accumulated. But it's not just the debt; it's the fact that the money that's being created is inefficient in generating new GDP. So income is growing much more slowly than debt. Debt is growing exponentially.
And income is growing much, much slower. We've got to take a real quick break here. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be right back.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Summertime is sale time at Herbal Healer Academy. Current customers know this is the time to save big and stock up at herbalhealer.com. New customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Right now, Herbal Healer's summer specials include our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale, CoQ10 with Hawthorn, Colon Enhancer, Sea Cucumber, Super Fem and Super Male Plex, plus Glucosamine Chondroitin, our best-selling liquid CalMag Vitamin B, and our colloidal minerals, all on sale for summer at herbalhealer.com. And Herbal Healer also offers certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on to our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988. Herbal Healer Academy at herbalhealer.com.
Alabama, it's coming, and it's the event you and your family will not want to miss. The Southern Preppers Convention and Green Living Expo, Saturday and Sunday, September 7th and 8th, at the newly renovated Oxford Civic Center in Oxford, Alabama, where admission is totally free. There's something for everyone. Free classes and seminars on topics like food preparation, food harvesting, and food preservation. Free giveaways every 30 minutes. You could win seed kits, food, doTERRA oil, starter kits, water filters, and more, including a year's supply of food. Guest speakers include Bob from Black Dog Survival School, Mike from White Harvest Seeds, Dr. Tom Stoner from Dr. MedKits, and more. And be sure to stop by and check out the Youngevity booth, the Southern Preppers Convention and Green Living Expo, September 7th and 8th, a weekend of education and preparation that's totally free to attend. Don't forget, the Country Inn and Suites in Oxford has special rates available for those who attend the expo. Get all the details at thesouthernpreppers.com. That's thesouthernpreppers.com. There is only one detox product that stands out above the rest, Micro Plant Powder, and it's available only at hempusa.org. Micro Plant Powder does wonders by removing toxins from the body. Detoxification is a vital process that's extremely important for restoring your health. Micro Plant Powder is available in 8 different formulations, and we can help you choose the one that's perfect for your lifestyle. Micro Plant Powder is 100% chemical-free, non-GMO, anti-inflammatory, gluten-free, and packaged by hand in BPA-free containers. HempUSA.org wants you to be healthy, and Micro Plant Powder is one of the best ways we know to detoxify your body from head to toe, all for about $10 a month. Take back your life and enjoy living again with Micro Plant Powder. Call 888-910-4367. That's 888-910-4367. Micro Plant Powder. Available only at hempusa.org.
My name's Bruno. I'm 52 years old. I've tried different protein powders over the years, and they've all tasted pretty bad. I tried One World Whey and found it to be delicious. After 10 weeks on One World Whey, my wife commented, "You have more muscles and you're leaner than when you were 20 years old." My body has changed dramatically. I'm a cyclist. Normally I'll ride 2 days on and take 2 days off. After being on One World Whey, I rode 10 days in a row in over 100 degree heat, and then I take another 2 servings of One World Whey, and then work out at the gym for another hour and a half. I just couldn't believe these results. My normal muscle tightness and soreness after working out are virtually gone. Don't take my word for it. One World Whey comes in single servings. Just give it a try.
For a health and taste sensation you'll love, call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back to the roundtable discussion. Jay, I wanted to throw this right back to you, the conversation that you ended the last segment regarding debt growing but income declining. Can you continue on with that, please, Jay?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I guess maybe according to John Williams, income in real terms has been declining. He believes, and I think he's right, that we are still in a recession. We've never really come out of it. But even if you buy the establishment's view that nominal or the real GDP is growing, it's growing much more slowly, almost in a linear fashion, where debt is growing exponentially. And the reason for that, I may differ somewhat with Ellen, is that the Austrian concept of malinvestment, when you pump huge amounts of money into the system, that is not, it's phony capital. It's not real capital. Real capital comes from savings, and that then is employed efficiently. But when you pump huge amounts of money into the system, remember that money is created out of debt. So debt is growing very rapidly, and when you create that new debt money, it isn't put to use in an efficient manner. Just think back to the dot-com, the telecom debacle in 2000, and then the bigger one yet, still the housing debacle. And now the Treasury and all the sovereign debt bubbles, these are all bubbles, and bubbles don't occur if you have a free market. When you have markets that are manipulated, which this one is, just by the sheer amount of money that's pumped into the system, you have malinvestment. You have reallocation of wealth from the people that create it, the miners, the manufacturers, the inventors, the farmers, to Wall Street and to government. Government keeps getting bigger. And so government doesn't produce anything, but they're grabbing all the revenue, all the GDP. So what we have is a structural problem because we have parted, we've gone far away from the free market capitalism that was really intended for us, And until that, until we come back to some sort of free market solution, you know, I hear what Ellen's saying, and yes, you could get some you could get some demand in the economy if you did what she's suggesting, but I don't think that fixes the structural problem.
I don't think it absolutely has anything to do with fixing the structural problem. It's about the most ineffective thing I think that we could be doing, John. You know, the thing that amazes me is we live in a country where the conventional stock markets, as measured by the Dow Jones Industrial Average, the S&P, etc., they're all approaching record highs. Can you really fool all of the people all of the time?
Not all of them. There are a lot of people who buy gold and aren't in the stock market. What you have going here is just nonsense in terms of stocks. I've never seen anything quite as bad as this. It's not driven by fundamentals. It's very heavily rigged. I mean, there's a lot of speculation today over whether or not the Fed's going to taper or not because the numbers were weaker than expected. All the Fed is doing here generally has been to prop up the stock market. I think they hope that people will make a lot of money in the stock market. I hope people make a lot of money in the stock market as well. And that'll create a wealth effect, and that'll help to bring the economy back. But there's very little chance of that. You have a circumstance now where the average consumer indeed has income falling. The measures of median household income adjusted for inflation published by the out of government studies shows that the income just fell off a cliff when the economy supposedly was recovering in June of 2009, and now it's stable, but it's stagnating at levels last seen in 1967. Consumer credit is an area that people could make up shortfalls in income before, but that's not growing. I mean, the growth there is all tied to student loans held by the federal government, not tied by bank lending that is used to go out and consume goods as you'd normally think of it in terms of the 70% of the economy that's driven by personal consumption. These same people are not investing in the stock market. They're broke. They're not able to make ends meet. So that you have a very speculative environment right now in the stock market, and the people are salivating over whether or not the Fed is going to continue to taper. I would say, good luck to you. My betting would be the Fed's not going to taper because what it's doing has nothing to do with trying to prop up the economy. It is all aimed at propping up the banking system and has been from day one.
Well, I think I have to agree with you 100%. I think Ellen made a really good point when she said it's not working because money isn't going into the system. And I think that to me is, I don't understand it. I mean, I always thought that, you know, to be an economic leader, to be a political leader, you had to pretty much have your act together. And I don't see that going on right now, personally. Pete, what are you telling your subscribers and people on your website, et cetera? What are you telling them about, you know, how to maintain a certain semblance of financial security?
Well, first of all, I have to rebound to what was said at the onset. It has gone into the system in that the whole concept we were sold on was there would be a wealth effect. John just spoke about it. That's what we were sold on from QE1 on, that if financial assets go up in price, people will feel good and they will go out and spend money, and that's how the economy will rebound. And so they got the first part right. They did greatly inflate stock prices, and they greatly lowered interest rates below where they would normally be. But the people did not take that, even though, like you said, we're at near record highs, and go out and spend like a mad dog, simply because a lot of people can't even afford to do that because they can't even get the credit at the lower end where a lot of those people would normally spend. So I just think it's just an accident waiting to happen. I still don't believe you short the market because I still believe what I've always coined a don't worry, be happy crowd who will fix the people from the bonds to saying, well, now the bonds are coming off, you need to be in the market, and relatively speaking, it's still okay to buy. I think there's enough money floating around for them to prevent a big, big sell-off. But if I was hearing John correct, and I think he's thinking in the line that I'm thinking is that we'll soon realize that any tapering, if it's actually physically done, will be viewed as a terrible mistake because the economy will get even worse. And then when they try to kick back in the Fed with whatever they call the next program, it's going to be perceived then that they're behind the curve instead of ahead of the curve. And that's where I think when the market gets in real trouble, but not before then.
You know, I want to get into banking just for a second. And the reason I want to do that is I read a very, very interesting article that was written by a commentator with Merrill Lynch, B of A Merrill Lynch. And he basically said, and I'd like you just to quickly respond to this, but he basically said, in my opinion, the United States is going to be in very, very rough waters this fall. It just can't go in any other direction. Got about a minute left, and then we'll throw it back to you in the next segment. But would you agree with that statement?
Sorry, who did you ask?
No, I asked you. Sorry, Ellen.
Oh, yeah.
Ellen Brown.
I would agree that somebody is going to go over the edge. It could... I think it'll be the next derivative bet that goes bad, rather like the London whale, only something larger. And this time, what we'll have is bail-ins instead of bailouts. In other words, the government has now said in Dodd-Frank that they're not going to bail out derivatives gambling. They're going to allow the gambling to go on. J.P. Morgan and Bank of America can both continue with their $70 trillion in derivatives bets, but the government won't bail them out. So what will happen is that the depositors will get stuck with the bill, and when that happens, I think you will see some sort of revolt, or that is when people take to the streets and things tend to change.
I think people are going to take to the streets, and this is a very dramatic thing to say, but one of the reasons I think that's going to happen, number one, is because we're broke. The government is broke, and we cannot continue to feed people as we're doing right now. We cannot continue to pay some of the benefits that we're paying right now. And when that happens, I have to say that I'm glad that I live in the country and not in a big city. The house of cards has to come falling down. There's no question about that in my mind. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be right back with the final segment of our show.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here. For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
Times are changing, and violent crimes against law-abiding citizens are out of control. Protect yourself with legal, affordable, 100% made in the USA ballistic body armor. Available at AR500.com. Rated for calibers up to .308 Winchester. Packages including armor start at only $210. It's the right of every responsible American citizen to own body armor. Get some at 602-501-9607 or AR500.com.
So, you've decided to get prepared. You're not sure that a case of ramen and a couple of granola bars under your bed will cut it as long-term food storage anymore. You're in luck. At Emergency Essentials, we have all the resources to get you started. From 3-day emergency bug-out bags to year supplies of food and everything in between. Call Emergency Essentials at 800-999-1863 or visit BePrepared.com. The choice is clear. Be unprepared or BePrepared.com.
Hi there. My name is Frank Bates. What I'm about to tell you in the next 60 seconds could get me in a lot of trouble. I just created a free video presentation at 123coverup.com that exposes the electricity monopolies and government agencies for what they really are, incompetent, lying crooks that are counting on your ignorance and fear to keep your power bills criminally high. Some have called this a conspiracy. Others have called it a cover-up, and you will be shocked to find out how deep the conspiracy goes. My video at 123coverup.com exposes the truth and shows you the secret of how I beat them and how you can beat them too. Watch the controversial video that thousands of other smart patriots have already seen in the last 3 months. Go to 123coverup.com and discover one weird trick to slash your power bill and protect your home. Go watch my video now at 123coverup.com before they force me to shut it down. Again, that's 123coverup.com.
A little over a year ago, I began to do a lot of research into why, even though I had a pretty good-sized meal, that I was still starving. And my research led me to a well-known fact that most of the soils that we grow our crops on here in the United States and across the industrialized world are almost completely depleted of almost all of the key minerals and trace elements that our bodies need to rebuild themselves, fight off cancer, and be healthy. I then searched out the best vitamin and mineral company out there and discovered Youngevity. The Youngevity products are designed to give you the real nutrition you need, and once you've got that, you don't have to eat as much to be satisfied. I've lost 37 pounds in 2 months simply getting the vitamins and minerals I need. Check it out for yourself. It's incredible. Go to InfoWarsTeam.com today and order your first canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Complete Multivitamin Mineral Complex Dietary Supplement. That's InfoWarsTeam.com.
Weekend edition of the Coilin Economics Report. We are going to get right back into this roundtable and start talking about what has been on the headlines this whole week, the issues in Syria. And Judge Napolitano came out and has issued a statement that said if Obama moves into Syria, this is the definition of a war crime, which to me is very scary that the American president could actually be committing a war crime. But those are the facts. And Jay, you brought this to our attention, and I know you have many comments on this. So how about you kick it off for us, please?
Yeah, well, first of all, I would say that, you know, going to war costs a lot of money. So we were just talking in the previous segment about how the country is broke. And, you know, probably the one thing that is the most useless of all is war. I mean, it seems to me that our economy has been built on war to such a great extent that we probably think we have to keep perpetually killing people and changing their regimes. But in any event, it is illegal internationally. There are four conditions that the judge Napolitano pointed out last night in a talk in New York that give you reason and justification under international law to go to war. First and logically is if you've been hit, if your country's been attacked, you have the right to go to war. Or if you have knowledge that you're about to be attacked, that's another reason that you have a legal right to go to war. Thirdly, if an ally of yours has been attacked and requests your involvement, then that's a third reason to go to war. And the fourth reason under international law is if the United Nations agrees that there's reason for you to go to war. But the United States, of course, under George W. Bush, we lied our way into Iraq. We're doing all kinds of things that are illegal internationally, including the drone killings of our own citizens. And I mean, it's just incredible. So, you know, I think that this is something people need to be really cognizant of, is that we are becoming the aggressor globally. We have become so aggressive that many Americans are starting to look to Russia and Russian television for the truth. Imagine that. It's been turned around 180 degrees. We used to think Izvestia and Pravda were the liars. And now, frankly, the way I see it is I can get more truth out of Russian television. And I'm not saying they're good people and we're bad people. I'm just saying that they are exposing the lies in our society for their own gain. I think that's what Putin is up to. But nonetheless, I think this is a very serious issue, and it has economic consequences that we should be aware of as well.
Jay, I fully agree with you that what's going on in this war and really where we're getting our information from. RT, I have a multitude of friends that go to RT for the information. I myself go there because to me it seems Well, like, they're not lying to me, because the president has been proven to lie many times. And you brought up how Russia is going to be involved in this war. And John, I wanted to throw this question over to you, is what other countries should we be concerned about if, heaven forbid, Obama does go into Syria, joining really the opposition that seems to me is growing by the day?
You're asking what other countries we should be concerned about that he might want to go after?
Or that might actually come after us and take Russia and Syria aside.
Well, this generally is a very, very bad idea, and you start something like this, you never can be sure where it's going to end, particularly if people have grander plans than they're talking about at this point in time. I don't see this as at all as being necessary, and I can see where there may be a sense of necessity in Washington where this provides a distraction from things that are otherwise pushing our country into financial destruction, such as the budget deficit, which has to come to a head in the near term because of the debt limit that has we're right up against. Supposedly, according to Treasury Secretary Liu, we can take that into the middle of October. There's been talk by some of the Republicans of trying to force a budget agreement with that. All of that's going to be buried by whatever happens here, and I'm not so sure that that those events aren't related. Obama does not want to balance the budget. He doesn't want to cut spending. He wants to raise taxes. Good reason to raise taxes. You go to war, we can't cut defense spending. But I would look for ulterior motives here.
I have to agree 100%, John. I think that all of these events are related. It makes absolutely not a modicum of sense to say that they're not related. It's just crazy. And if anybody who believes that is absolutely nuts, I have to say. We're going to wrap this thing up here in about 5 minutes. And I want to give some time here to both Ellen and Peter. Ellen, let's start with you. And that is, do you feel that these events are interrelated? I mean, how could anybody disagree with that?
Yeah, I definitely think they're interrelated. I just wrote an article that it was a banking issue, that in the late 1990s, Larry Summers and Tim Geithner, among others, were plotting, you could say, anyway, figuring out how to make the world safer derivatives. That was the article I wrote. And so they managed to get the Glass-Steagall Act repealed, or the part of it that would separate investment banking from depository banking, but they knew that they had that the whole world had to be deregulated in the same way, or otherwise investors would be fleeing to the safer countries. So they did it by a provision in the World Trade Organization that required everybody to open their markets to these derivatives and to basically the big Wall Street and London banks. But then there were some countries that weren't even members of the World Trade Organization, and those included what we called the rogue states, which were those seven states that are, well, I guess you could maybe count 10 states, in fact, that are around that whole corridor that starting in Iraq. And those are the ones we have gone after, and they have a totally different banking system. They don't belong to the World Trade Organization or the Bank for International Settlements, because that's not their model. And so it looks to me like the goal is to get everybody under the umbrella of the international banking system, and anybody who won't go willingly, we have to go to war with. And Libya was like the prime example, because they had a totally different banking system and it was working for them.
Yeah, it was totally working for them. I mean, there's a very strong train of thought that one of the reasons that the United States went into Iraq, in actuality, was because they were pushing very, very strongly for the end of the U.S. being the dominant currency in terms of petrodollars. Pete, you got a minute? How would you wrap all of this stuff up, bud?
Well, I think the difference now than say decades ago for America is trying to look at what is the greater good here. You know, World War II, we aligned ourselves with really the second worst man in the world, Stalin, at the time, because the first worst, Hitler, was so unbelievable we couldn't fathom the thought of him somehow winning control. Here, in this battle in Syria, from what I can see of both sides, I don't see anything that's in our interest for either side coming out victorious. And I think that's part of the reasons people have pulled back here and have thought about what are we doing in this, because I don't think there is a side of good and versus evil here. I just think it's a different degree of evil. It's just a, you know, which evil side do you want to be involved with? I think that's another reason why you want to think about, you know, before you go in there, why do we want to, it look like we end up coming out on anybody's particular side here?
You know, I have to tell you, I agree 100%. We were going to take the final minute of this segment and basically give everybody a chance to talk about their websites, their newsletters, etc. But, you know, these guys are major league players. They don't need to do that. Everybody knows who Alan Brown is. Everybody knows who John Walter Williams is. Everybody knows who Jay Taylor is. Everybody knows who Pete Grandich is. I don't know where we sit in this thing, Corey, but, these guys are definitely major league players in the world that we live in. I would strongly suggest anyone who doesn't, who isn't really very familiar with each one of our guests here, just go to our favorite sites section and click on their respective banners, and that'll take you right to their site. These guys are truly the best of the best. You know, the one thing that we were trying to do throughout this entire program, both the first hour and the second hour, is show how the events that are going on in the world and the financial world, for lack of better terms, are very, very definitely interrelated. There is no question about it. In my humble opinion, I think what's going on is I think that, number one, as everyone said very accurately, attention is attempting to be deflected. I think that's very, very true. And number two, you know, I think back on President Eisenhower's speech, his farewell speech about the military-industrial complex. It's all about money. What do you guys out there think?
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy 3 Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed-saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American-owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.